It's great to see everybody. It's great to be back in the theater. Is everybody okay? You guys look tired. Maybe we need to stand up and sing another song. Huh? How you guys doing in the back? Okay. Just making sure that you are alive back there. It's good to see everyone. A couple of things. Sometimes, you know, we come in here and we forget stuff. And then people are calling my house. There's a lot of stuff in there. It's going to cost you $10 to retrieve your stuff. Jackets, Bibles, there's all kind of stuff in that box. Okay? And so from now on, if you forget anything in here, I promise you it will find its way into that box. Don't call my house. I am not the janitor. I'm the preacher. Amen? But that stuff will make it back in there. And so if you're missing something, take a look. And that's the new setup. We'll put all that stuff in there so the following week you can retrieve it. Amen? Amen. Or if you want to come during the week to the school, it will be back in that office to my right, on my right-hand side. So that's the lost and found box. Amen? Amen. I'm also very excited to announce that Shabbatai Saintville is placing membership in the campus ministry. Can I have you stand up? Congratulations. We serve a mighty God. And a God that is so good to us, day in and day out, He showers His blessings upon us. We see the evidence of His grace. But there are times when God withholds His grace. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Because even as children of God, we must never feel like, well, I'm saved, and so I can just do what I want. You know, I can just live my life the way I want, as long as I come to God and say I'm sorry. It doesn't work like that. Once saved does not mean you're always saved. There's so many scriptures in the Bible that warn us to continue to walk out our salvation with fear and trembling. There's so many verses that encourage us to persevere till the very end. Are you with me? So this morning I want to talk to us about when God withholds His grace. Because He does that too, from time to time. Collectively, as a people, and individually in our lives. When God would limit Himself for a reason. And that's what I want us to examine for the next few minutes over here this morning. The title of the lesson, When God Withholds His Grace. Let's start from the very beginning. Look in Genesis chapter 2. Because you see God this way throughout the entire Bible at different times. In Genesis chapter 2, a passage we're all very familiar with. We're still in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 2, beginning verse 15, the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to walk it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die." God told Adam, "You're free to eat whatever it is you want in this garden. There's only one tree that I don't want you to eat from." And it says to him, "For when you eat of it, you will surely die." I want you to notice, Eve was not even created at that point. Because right after that it says, the Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. And then God basically puts Adam into a deep sleep and creates woman out of his rib. Amen? Amen, church? But somehow, God obviously expected Adam to pass that instruction on to his wife. Let me just say right from the start. I know this is not part of the lesson. This is a freebie. Husbands, are you discipling your wives? Wives, are you discipling your husbands? You know, as husband and wife, we see ourselves, I mean, nobody knows us better than our spouses. We're around each other 24/7. When you see something in your husband or your wife that is not ungodly, do you even bring it up? Or is your attitude, well, she'll get with so-and-so, or so-and-so will talk about it with him. It shouldn't be that way. Amen? Because there are consequences to disobeying God. Obviously, you know the story. They disobeyed. And Satan shows up in chapter 3, tempts them. They eat of the forbidden fruit. And God shows up. As a matter of fact, they hide when God shows up. And God says, hey, why are you hiding? He says, well, we're afraid. And so we hear. He says, why are you afraid? Did you eat of the tree I told you not to eat of? He says, yeah, we did. And instead of taking responsibility for their sin, they're blaming each other. Adam said, well, it was the woman that you put here with me. The woman said, well, the serpent made me do it. And you and I read about the consequences for their disobedience in the rest of chapter 3. Verse 23 in chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, verse 23. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to walk the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. God withheld his grace. He said, wow, Richard, this is harsh. All they did was disobey one command. You and I cannot talk back to the Almighty. He is the Almighty. Amen? Amen? Now, it may look harsh to us, but God's word needs to be obeyed. When you and I disobey the scriptures, when you and I disobey God's instructions, you are going to be punished. He will withhold his grace from you. Are you with me? Yes, sometimes we beg, like our kids do sometimes, when they've, you know, misbehaved. And as parents that love them, sometimes you give in. But as a parent, sometimes I don't. Some of our kids, they have this thing pat down, where they do something wrong and they start crying. Those cries don't do nothing to me. It's just water coming out of your eyes. Oh, you are going to get a serious whooping for disobeying me. Are you with me? That's not the time I go, you know, yeah, that everything's fine, doesn't matter. Don't do that again, okay, Johnny? Don't do I want you to remember this when you grow up. This story is in the Bible for a reason. Amen? And so there are times when God will withhold his grace from us. Just like he did with these guys. But it comes because we disobeyed. And it's always amazing to me where God doesn't just punish us. Throughout the scriptures, again, you'll see this, where over and over again, he's warning us. He's pleading with us. Don't do this. Don't go in this direction. But what do? We don't listen. And then when we start feeling the consequences of our sin and our disobedience, I don't know if there's a God. You know, I just don't know if there's a God. How can a loving God let this be happening to me? You messed up and you're going to have to clean that stuff up. Sometimes we don't like to look at that side of God. It's the same God. Yes, he's gracious and abounding in love. As a matter of fact, it's very long-suffering, the Bible tells us. But it is a very righteous and just side to him. Amen? For instance, when the cops and the police, you know, put out the speed limit out on the roads and everything, those speed limits are there for a reason. When you see those flashing lights and they pull you over, you can beg all you want. They are going to write you a ticket. That's just the way it is. You're not going to be able to go, "Hey, officer, are you a fan of the Georgia Bulldogs? Oh, did you see that game yesterday?" He's going to say, "I'm still writing you a ticket." Because you violated the law. Are you with me? God is the same way. And so there are times, brothers and sisters, when God withholds his grace from us. They're not pleasant times. And you see it throughout the entire scriptures. Genesis chapter 6, you know the story. God looked down and he says, "You know what? Mankind basically had become very evil." And he says, "You know what? I've had it. I'm going to wipe them out." But Noah found favor with God. See, again, what that tells me is God can see your righteousness. God knows the men and women that are always obeying him. He does. And I've said this before. When the trumpet sounds, when Jesus comes back, we're not going to be floating based on our membership in a congregation. At that point, you are on your own. Amen? It's not going to be, "Wait a second, Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett, come on up." It doesn't work like that. It's not as if all of us are going to start floating up at the same time as a group. You don't want to be standing there and people are going up left, right, and center. And you are fixed to the ground and you're going like this, like, "Oh, you're not going anywhere." You see, it's about individual obedience to God. Very, very important. We can't hide. Because the Bible tells us in Hebrews 4 that everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of whom we must give account. Our thoughts and our actions, when nobody else is watching, God is watching. Amen? God is always watching. And from time to time, depending on how we're doing as far as obeying his instructions, he's going to withhold his grace from us. Genesis chapter 6 got so bad, he was going to wipe everybody out. Only 8 people survived. We don't know what the population of the earth was at that time. But even if there was just 100,000 people, even 50, that's a lot of people. Only 8 people. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and I put myself in the front row. 8. That's it. I'm not going down the floor. My middle name is Noah. I'm just kidding. But you get my point. Only 8 people survive. Can you imagine a room this large? Only the front row survives? That's not good. But yes, that's what happened in the scriptures. And again, these things were recorded for a reason. Remember, so many things happen. And have happened in history. These are the stories God chose in his wisdom to put down. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 as warnings for us. So that we don't follow the example of disobedience. You know, Sue Galbraith taught the men a class a few weeks ago. If you were not there, you need to go listen to it on tape. About obedience. I want to encourage your sisters to go listen to that lesson. It will flat convict you and flat inspire you at the same time. Amen? It's all about obedience to God. I remember when I was growing up, I must have been, I don't know, maybe 10 years old and 7. I had a habit when my mother was going out, I would say, "Can I come along?" And a lot of times she would say, "Yeah, go ahead, go grab your flip-flops, let's go." And there are times she would tell me, "No." And I would whine, try and, you know, talk my way into going with her, and she would say, "No." And I'll never forget, on this particular day, it was in the evening, she was going out with a couple of friends, And I started whining. I really wanted to come. And she told me no. And I started crying. And then my brother joined me. My younger brother joined. He's 3 years younger than me. He was 7 at the time. So he joined me. And my mom is going down the stairs, going out of the house, and we're literally crying after her. She just ignored us. Got into the car with her friends and started driving off. We started running after the car, crying, "No, please take it!" I kid you not. My brother and I, we run down the street. You see, neighbors standing around, my friends like, "What in the world is going on with them?" But anyway, when she gets to the end of the street, she turns around. And I'm thinking, yes, she's going to take us with her. She turns around. I see her coming back. I say, yeah, we're going. She pulls in. She grabs me by the hand. She grabs my brother, and she's just taking us inside. And I thought, oh, I'm about to die today. And she went in, grabbed her cane, and gave us a serious whooping. And then she told my brother and I to kneel down in the corner with our hands up, told my cousins to make sure that we didn't get up, and she left us there and went, and then came back. And after she came back, she said, "Now come over here." And she looked at us and said, "Never in your life do you pull that kind of stunt again. Am I making myself clear?" "Yes, ma'am." Guess what? Right after that, when my mother said she was going out, we didn't even dare ask, "Can we come along?" It's like, "I'm going to have fun, have a good time." For several months in a row. And my mom, in her mercy, you know, she realized, okay, these kids want to come. And then one day she turned around and said, "You guys want to come?" It's like, "Are you talking to us?" "Yeah." "Okay, good. You can come along." This is after several months. But I learned my lesson. Because there came a day when he said, "You know what? I have had it up to here with this behavior." Okay? Are you with me? God is the same way. Yeah, sometimes we whine and we cry. And it looks like, oh, he gives in to us. There's going to come a time when God says, "You know, I'm turning this car around. Enough. Enough of your whining. Enough of your complaining." That's just life. Are you with me? So there are times, brothers and sisters, when you and I disobey God and he will withhold his grace from us. Like I said, you see throughout the entire Bible. And you think about it, during the Old Testament times, prophet after prophet would get up and talk to God's people. "Guys, we're messing up. Guys, we're not totally devoted to God. Guys, our minds are in totally different places. We're sacrificing and following other gods. We need to change." And what did people do? They didn't listen. Prophet after prophet after prophet. Yes, some of them could tell the future, but most of them were just simply preaching the word and telling people to repent and to be righteous. That was their primary job. And God finally said, "You know what? If you don't change, I'm going to allow your enemies to come in and capture you and take you into captivity." You would think at that point they would start listening. They didn't. And what happened in 722 BC? Every Christian needs to know that date. God allowed Assyria to come in, and the northern kingdom, Judah, was taken into exile. And then the prophet Jeremiah sat down and wrote the book of Lamentations. And I want us to read a little bit of it. Because this is what happens when God withholds his grace. Lamentations is right after Jeremiah. I know we don't go there very often, but we're going there this morning. Lamentations. God has allowed their enemies to come in and to conquer them. And again, they were not going into exile for a couple of years. They were going to spend 70 years in captivity. I don't know about you, that's a long time. I'm not even 70 yet. I can't imagine being in captivity for that long of a period of time. But that's what happened to them. Listen to Jeremiah here. I want you to hear the agony. He says, how dreadful lies the city, once so full of people. How like a widow is she, who once was great among the nations. She who was queen among the provinces has now become a slave. Bitterly she weeps at night. Tears are upon her cheeks. Among all her lovers, there is none to comfort her. All her friends have betrayed her. They have become her enemies. After affliction and harsh labor, Judah has gone into exile. She dwells among the nations. She finds no resting place. All who pursue her have overtaken her in the midst of her distress. The roads to Zion mourn. Zion is Jerusalem. For no one comes to her appointed feasts. All her gateways are desolate. Her priests groan. Her maidens grieve. And she is in bitter anguish. Her foes have become her masters. Her enemies are at ease. The Lord has brought her grief because of her many sins. Her children have gone into exile, captive before the foe. All the splendor has departed from the daughter of Zion. Her princes are like deer that find no pasture. In weakness, they have fled before the pursuer. In the days of her affliction and wandering, Jerusalem remembers all the treasures that were hers in days of old. When her people fell into enemy hands, there was no one to help her. Her enemies looked at her and laughed at her destruction. Jerusalem has sinned greatly, and so has become unclean. All who honored her despise her, for they have seen her nakedness. She herself groans and turns away. Her filthiness clung to her skirts. She did not consider her future. Her fall was outstanding. There was none to comfort her. Look, O Lord, on my affliction, for the enemy has triumphed. The enemy had laid hands on all her treasures. She saw pagan nations enter her sanctuary, those who had forbidden to enter your assembly. All our people groan as they search for bread. They batter their treasures for food to keep themselves alive. Look, O Lord, and consider, for I am despised. Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Look around and see. Is any suffering like my suffering that was afflicted on me, that the Lord brought on me in the days of his fierce anger? From on high he sent fire, sent it down into my bones. He spread a net for my feet and turned me back. He made me desolate, faint all day long. And it goes on and on. This is not pleasant. The prophet is grieving. It's like how the mighty have fallen. You see, when God withholds his hand, it's not a good thing. And as bad as this was, for them it was only temporary. Being 70 years. Because again, at the end of 70 years, God moved in the hearts of their captors and he allowed them to go back to Jerusalem. Are you with me? Talking about a gracious God. But brothers and sisters, as bad as this sounds, the day of judgment is not even going to compare. And to know that when that day comes, if you and I don't make it, God is not going to change his mind. Like right now, we still get a second chance. We get many chances to change, to repent, to be the men and women God has called us to be, to take our lives very seriously. Amen? Amen. But as bad as this is, the day of judgment is going to be much worse. Based on the little I've read. Because we're talking about eternal damnation. You say, what does that mean? I have no idea. I don't want to find out. It doesn't sound pleasant. Compared to being with heaven. Being in heaven with God forever. Amen? Amen. There's a difference. But it's all about our obedience. When you and I are not obeying God, he will withhold his grace from you. Because he sees what you're doing and not doing. He sees what I'm doing and not doing. He does. And he will act accordingly. Is your marriage where it needs to be? Those of us that are married. Or are you just, quote unquote, living the same house? You think God doesn't see that? We need to change. God commands us, those of us that are husbands, that we should love our wives as Christ loved the church. I don't know about you. That is hard. The Christ loved the church. He laid down his life for her. Steve went through the last sayings of Jesus this morning in the class. At one point, like he said this morning, Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? At that point, believe it or not, God withheld his grace from Jesus. Because God is so righteous, he's not going to come in contact with sin. Like he said to us this morning, everybody had deserted him, everybody, including Peter. And finally, God had to also turn his back on him. He was all alone now. Literally, he had never experienced that before. Remember, he's always been there, even from the beginning. And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Brothers and sisters, that's what hell is going to be like. There is no God. You're going to be alone. Nobody to help you. Nobody to come to your rescue. Nobody. Not even God. You see, brothers and sisters, that's why I don't play with my salvation. Yes, when I've messed up, I need to swallow my pride and go be reconciled to my wife and say, you know, we need to talk. Or you said this, or did this, or didn't do this, and here's how it made me feel. And vice versa. So that we can be reconciled. Because I promise you, there's going to come a day when I'm going to put my head down on that pillow and I'm not going to wake up. And the same thing for you. There's going to come a day when you're going to leave the house and you are not going to come back. That's just life. And we got to make sure that, you know what, that we're right with God. We're right with our spouses before we leave this place. Amen? Amen, amen. Amen, church? Amen. I've said this one, I'll say it again. This is just a little thing that I do with my wife. When I'm going anywhere, I go find her, I go give her a hug. And then I leave. Because some drunk person can kill me in a car accident. And I don't want it to be, oh man, he left. I never said bye. I never said, you know, I never said, you know, see you later. Or I never said I love you or anything. I don't want that to be her last memory. You understand that? And I'm not saying you should start doing it. I'm just, whatever works for you, you need to start doing. Knowing too that when we get to the other side, the Bible says there's no marriage. Again, I don't understand that. I really don't. It's like, you know, we're going to be on the other side. It's like, oh yeah, you see that lady back there? I used to be married to her on the other side. Hey, how you doing? It's good to see you. You're not going to be married to your spouse on the other side as much as you love each other. This is it. Amen? So love up on out here. Love our woman over here. This is it. Amen? Those of you that are single will continue to pray for you. Marriage is awesome. I highly recommend it. But it's work. There's a reason why they call that first few months a honeymoon. It doesn't last for very long. It's the truth, eh? Amen? But I'm bringing this up because whatever it is that's in our lives that's going to keep us out of heaven, we need to really go after it and attack it and work on it. Because Satan knows my weak spots. Satan knows your weak spots. And that is the same place he will keep on attacking you. Because he knows that, you know what, if he can use your anger or your selfishness or your worldliness to keep you out of heaven, he will continue to push that button until the day you breathe your last. Amen? But you see, I want us all to get to the other side. I want us all to get over there, and God looks at us and says, well done, good and faithful servant. You and I are going to be blown away by what heaven has to offer. It's going to be incredible. It is going to blow your mind. You're going to be so happy that you persevered through this life. Amen? Amen? It's going to be worth it, but we've got to hang in there. You see, what we cannot do, though, is become false prophets. Look in Jeremiah chapter 5. We've got to be very, very careful. Just like God sent out his prophets to tell the people what they needed to hear, there were also false prophets amongst the people. And there are false prophets today. There were false prophets during the times of Jesus. And he tells us over and over again in the Gospels, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you should be able to recognize them. In Jeremiah chapter 5, in verse 30, it says, a horrible and shocking thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy lies. The priests rule by their own authority. And my people love it this way. But what will they do in the end? Wow. We're still in Jeremiah. Look in chapter 8. In the second part of verse 10, Jeremiah chapter 8, it says, from the least to the greatest, all are greedy for gain. Prophets and priests alike, all practice deceit. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. Are they ashamed of their lonesome conduct? No, they have no shame at all. They do not even know how to blush. So they will fall among the fallen, and they will be brought down when they are punished, says the Lord. You see, as Christians, we cannot get to the point where it's just peace, peace, where there's no peace. Where it doesn't matter what you believe, it doesn't matter where you go to church, it doesn't matter, you know, we're all God's children. I have never believed that. And I still don't. Amen? Amen. It does matter what you believe. It does matter what you're practicing. We got a lot of prophets today. Peace, peace, where there's no peace. I mean, I was watching the news the other day, you know, with this week, you know, the Supreme Court said, yeah, we're going to hear two cases about this whole thing about allowing, quote unquote, gay people to marry. People say, well, some people have asked me, Richard, what's your view on this? It's like, my view is the Bible's view. God created man and woman. America, the Netherlands, Germany, I don't care who it is, they have no right to go change that. Oh, you're so intolerant. This has got nothing to do with tolerance. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying people that are gay should be discriminated against. Absolutely not. But marriage is the union between a man and a woman. God put woe in front of it. Marriage is not between a woman and a woman. It's a man and woman. It's not man and man. Amen? Amen? Again, I use that as an example. And so, this guy said they're going to hear some cases next year. It's going to be around June when the whatever comes down. Regardless of what comes down, the Bible is still the Bible. I can't now say, well, it's okay. It doesn't matter. Of course it does. Amen? Just like a guy who's lost in another, somebody else's wife. It's called adultery. Yep. You don't give in to the attraction. Now they've started saying, well, I was born this way. Oh, don't get me started. don't go there. Because the Bible is not lying. Just like heterosexual have an attraction to females that they're not married to, you know, I believe that's what's going on with the gay community. You don't give in to those tendencies. Amen? It's the same thing. Now, don't get me wrong. Again, I'm going to say this very clearly. We should not and never discriminate against anybody because of their sexual orientation or religion or whatever, or color of their skin, whatever. No. I've never believed that. I never will. Are you with me? And so, I am saying, though, as Christians, we cannot water down the message to the point now where it's, it doesn't matter. And you see people that say, yeah, I'm gay and I'm a minister. I almost want to take that collar and yank it off his neck. Oh, we are all children of God. Doesn't really matter. It does matter. Amen?
Amen.
But I'm bringing these things up because we can't back down from this. This is the next battle I believe we're going to be fighting. I got to be honest with you. This bothered me so much this week. I told my wife, I said, you know, I think maybe we need to move back to Africa. I'm serious. The Anglican Church in Africa split from the Church of England because of this issue. They've gone their own way. But guys, we're going our own way. We're not doing this. Because now again, the Church of England now, you know, they're allowing, you know, gay priests and so on. The Africans saying, guys, thank you. This is where we part company. And they've gone their own way. Sin is still sin. Adultery is still adultery. We got to be very careful where, okay, where this is where everybody's at, the next generation. And that's what scares me the most. Where everybody now thinks, yeah, it's okay. And this is the environment we have to raise our kids in. And our grandkids. That's when I say, God, could you just come back right now? Let's just end this thing here. It's going from bad to worse. Amen? You know, it's amazing to me. You know, they get these guys on TV, and the journalists they try to press you. Especially if you're a minister. Well, do you really believe this? Yes, that's what I believe. That Jesus is the only way to God. Well, that is so intolerant. Well, you're about to find out. You are about to find out. I give that guy 50 years. He will find out very quickly whether Jesus is Lord or not. They don't even believe their own science. Because all I need to say is, oh, you don't believe that just the only way to God. Okay, fine. Just sign. Let's get a document right here. Just sign a document saying, you know what? I'm not going to be, you know, convicted for killing you. Load that gun. Let me shoot you. You're going to find out in the next 5 minutes whether there's Jesus or not. They won't do it. People just want to talk. But I'm saying all this stuff because as Christians, we cannot back down. I'm not saying we'll be mean. Alright? I'm not saying we become mean people. But with the scriptures, we love people enough to open up the Bible for them and show them the scriptures. And say, this is what God says. Amen?
Amen.
We can't back down from it. Because God will withhold His grace from us when we do that. We can't be telling people peace, peace, where there's no peace. Acts chapter 5 is in the Bible for a reason. You know the story. Of Ananias and Sapphira. These guys were in the church. It sounds like they were well to do. I mean, they had stuff to go sell. And they lied about what the offering they were bringing. And what did God do? He killed them on the spot. Man, that's power right there, baby. Can you imagine you're talking to a disciple? And they're not, and they're lying to you. They're not telling you to hold it. They just drop dead in front of you. Wow. The Bible says great fear seized the church. If God did that in here, man, everybody will be coming forward and confessing their sins. That's what happened in scriptures. The point is, all I'm saying, brothers and sisters, let's not play with the Almighty. Amen?
Amen.
We got to always continue to tell the truth in love.
Amen.
We're not going to water down this message to the point now where, yeah, it doesn't really matter now what you do or what you're doing. No, 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 no. Nespa, nespa, nespa. I'm not even sure if that's correct. We're not going to do it. We're not going there. Amen? Because we got to be able to understand and also tell people in love that, you know what, there are times when God will withhold his grace from you. That you got to change this. You got to change this. You got to work on this. You got to repent of this. You got to get back on track. Very, very important. Now we're still in here. Let's go back to Lamentations. This is where I'm going to end up. You know, God is so amazing. We mess up. Yeah, he lets us. He punishes us. But then he doesn't leave us there. Amen?
Amen.
In Lamentations chapter 3, this is where we're going to end up. But understand that this is just for the living. Once you die, you don't have this promise. In Lamentations chapter 3, beginning in verse 22, it says, because of the Lord's great love for us, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And so every single day you and I wake up, God is allowing his mercies to be revealed to you every single day. Don't take it for granted.
Amen.
Because one day you're not going to wake up. I keep saying it, man. If you remember nothing, when I'm dead and gone, remember this, that one day you are not going to wake up on this side of eternity. And you need to get yourself ready for the rest of your life. Because truly, the majority of our life is on the other side. Amen? But while we are here, his compassions never fail. His grace never fails. They are new every morning. When you wake up and the sun is, you know, the sun is beginning to come up and you can hear the birds chirping, I mean, there needs to be a big smile on your face. I say, man, I want to talk to my Father. Thank you for waking me up this morning. God, I'm putting my day before you. Father, walk with me. Protect me. Guide me. Help me through this or help me through that. Don't you dare walk out of that house on your own power. Satan will have you for breakfast. Amen? That is what God's mercy, that is what God's grace needs to be doing for us every single day. And as long as we're here, on this side, we have that opportunity to witness it and to experience it every single day. He said, Richard, my life is hard. Things are tough. I'm broke. I just lost my car. You're not homeless yet. Praise God. And you're not going to be homeless. Because another brother and sister will take care of you during that temporary situation. Are you with me? So yes, we don't all have everything we desire right now. But there's coming a day. I'm not even going to need that Rolls Royce. I'm not going to need that new car. You are not going to need it either.
You got a house built by God himself. No mortgage. Praise Jesus. You know how it is every month when you have to write that check? One of the brothers was telling me this week, he sent in his last payment for his house a couple of months ago. The house is paid for. And all I could do was just sit there and just imagine what that would feel like. But where you and I are going to spend eternity, there's no mortgage. There are no banks lending you money at some ridiculous interest rate. It's not happening. Amen? That's what you and I have to look forward to. But we've got to hang in there. No matter what. And so, like I said last week and the week before, as we approach the Christmas season, please do not take a spiritual vacation. Do not let Satan come after you and have you for breakfast. Stay close to your God. Stay in Proverbs. I'm having a blast. I hope you are too. And one day, we will get to experience God's grace in all of His glory. And nobody's going to be going anywhere. Amen? Amen. Vu is going to come forward and say a closing prayer. And then, please, immediately after the closing prayer, I need us all to exit. I need us to exit so that these guys can come up on stage and rehearse for next week. They need to run through the entire program. And so they need us all out of here. And so I know we're going to be great disciples. I'm bragging on you guys right now. We're going to be great disciples. Immediately we're done with that prayer. Let's take our fellowship outside. God bless you all.
This beautiful day that we all get to be here in this theater and worship you, Father. Thank you for this time that we get to hear Richard preach and your word, Father, and that we don't withhold so that you don't withhold your grace from us, Father. Pray that you give us your guidance and give us your blessing throughout the week that we go through and be a Christian for others, Father. And show them how we are to you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.